Now, back to Mike Adams.
We're joined now by Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, good to talk with you again. Last time we talked, we were kind of wondering what the May numbers would look like, what impact COVID-19 would have on the May meat export numbers, and we're starting to see some of that reflected in those numbers, aren't we?
Yes. Good morning, Mike. Thank you. Yes. The May stats that came out were along the lines of what we thought they would be. We're down a bit on beef in May, down 33%, actually. And while we're up slightly on pork, it's down from where we were prior. And I think what we're starting to see is an impact from the supply chain disruptions, which started in April and really crescendoed in May, especially on the beef side. So, you know, that being said, it's probably not all related to that. I mean, we still see one of our key regions, Latin America, Mexico, Central America, South America, they're probably a good month behind the U.S. in terms of dealing with COVID-19. So, you know, food service is still shut down in Mexico, the tourism, et cetera. So that kind of leaned pretty heavy on the lower numbers for Mexico as well.
We're starting to see some recovery here in the U.S. with some openings and things, but we're also seeing kind of a resurgence, a spike in some areas of the virus. What are we seeing around the world?
Well, I think the greatest example is Asia. Asia was, I think we talked about this before, Asia was starting to see the impact of COVID-19, you know, Taiwan, Hong Kong, China, way back in January. And then some of the other markets in Asia, Korea, Philippines, Japan, were a little bit later. But suffice it to say, most of Asia was at least a month, if not 2 or 3 months, ahead of the U.S. in terms of dealing with this. So consequently, they're on the other side of the mountain, so to speak, coming out of it. And food service in a place like Taiwan has been back up and running now for several months. A place like Korea has been up and running for 6 to 8 weeks now, but it's a slow path to recovery, and while it's open, it's by no means normal. That being said, you know, retail continues to boom, similar to what it's been doing in the U.S., and the online delivery platforms for both retail and food service are also booming. So I would say that the meat demand, beef and pork, in Asia especially, is very resilient, and we're seeing an overall rebound that's probably maybe a little quicker than what we thought originally.
We're talking with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, what are our customers saying? We've heard in the news a lot about China, rejecting or raising concerns about meat coming from some of our plants because of COVID-19. Are you hearing that from other countries?
I think for the most part, you know, the other countries, and I look at some of our key trading partners like Mexico, like Japan, like Korea. I think they've done a good job of understanding the facts that COVID-19 is a human health issue, a very serious one, but it's not a meat food safety issue. And we and the rest of the industry have spent a lot of time delineating that, making sure people understand what COVID is and what it isn't. And I think for the most part, most of the consumers around the world understand that we still have a very high quality, safe product in U.S. beef, pork, and lamb.
What about the impact of USMCA as we move forward now that that deal is in place? Is that pretty much just assuring what we had, or, you know, securing what we had as far as market access and sales of meat, or do you see increases coming, significant increases?
Well, I think you're right. I think it secures what we had, and what we had before was stability. Stability in you know, free trade with two of our larger trading partners in Canada and Mexico, and you know, zero duty free trade. This sort of thing is all we ask, to be on a level playing field, and I think USMCA in that regard is extremely important in maintaining that, and the fact that there's stability maintained in the trade relationship between the three countries is also key. And you know, since you brought up the trade agreements, the other one that continues to pay dividends is Japan. The Japan-U.S. Ag Agreement Phase 1 that was implemented January 1, in my mind, is probably one of the biggest deals done, at least since BSE, if not prior to that, for the U.S. beef and pork industries. We're on a level playing field today in terms of inbound duties vis-a-vis our biggest beef competitors like Australia and our biggest pork competitors like Canada and Europe. So we are seeing the dividends on the Japan side as well.
So you're optimistic as we continue to move into the latter half of 2020 as far as our meat exports?
Yeah, I think, obviously May was a down month. June remains to be seen. I think we could still see some lingering effects from the supply chain disruptions back in May, in June as well. But I'm optimistic going into the last half of the year. Let's face it, we're early July now, and our slaughter production capacities are back up to 95%+ of normal, which is a great thing. A lot of work done by the industry to adapt to the situation. And so I think considering our supply situation and the fact that demand is indeed rebounding, some sectors faster than others. I mean, I think food service continues to be a drag, but the other sectors in these key markets continue to grow. So, yes, overall, I think we're looking for some optimistic growth later in the year.
Always like to ask you, Dan, about developing markets. Are there any that you see as holding a lot of potential in the near future?
You know, there is one I'd like to mention, and that's, and we've talked about it before, but that's the African region. We saw, and it's mainly beef variety meats that are going there at the moment, but we saw our volume on beef variety meats for the month of May double versus a year ago. So we're up from 6,000 tons to over 12,000. This is livers, hearts, kidneys, things that aren't real glamorous to talk about, but the crop credit adds a lot of value to the beef cutouts. So I think this is an emerging region, and they're looking at the moment for the lowest cost protein they can find, and variety meats is usually where it starts. But my experience, and I think the industry's experience in the past, is when you start with variety meats, eventually the box beef and the box pork and things like this come with it. So, yeah, we're optimistic about the African region in general going forward.
A lot of discussion about a potential deal between the U.S. and the EU, U.S. and the U.K. We know the history, the baggage, especially when it comes to meat and meat products into those countries and the challenges we've had. Are you at all optimistic that any deal is going to be struck with those countries?
Well, yeah, I am. I think EU is going to be tough, but the U.K. being one country maybe is a little more realistic. And from a demand standpoint, I mean, we're doing business on beef and pork today into the region. It's small, but the potential for growth is enormous with a very large population base throughout the region. And for the most part, a population base that likes to pay for quality, especially high quality products. And that's what we have. So, yeah, I think the UK especially is a possibility. There's a lot of potential growth there should we be able to get a deal done. So, yeah, we're very supportive of the process. It's not going to be a big market like we're talking with Korea and Japan and these markets. But every market at this point helps, so we're optimistic.
Yeah, that's for sure. So overall, real quick, when you look at the January through May, all things considered, we have to be pretty happy with the numbers. I mean, when you look at everything that's kind of been the headwinds for the markets, we still moved a lot of product.
We have, and we're happy with the numbers. But that being said, the situation is so fluid, day to day, week to week. It's really hard to forecast, but. One thing the industry is getting really good at is being able to adapt to changing circumstances. If nothing else, we've learned that from this whole experience the last 6 months. And I think And we have the high quality product to supply as well, which is another advantage.
Yeah, flexibility is a key for sure. Dan, thanks a lot. Good to talk with you again, and we'll see what those June numbers have. We'll talk again when we get those. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, looking at the May meat export numbers and his thoughts on the rest of the year.